Hello, hello. Literally
Yet again,
anything.
I haven't come up with something
Literally
good.
anything.
And I never prepare anything either.
No, I know. I know that.
Hey!
I know you guys can't see her, but probably my favorite part of every episode is watching Jamie try to come up with a unique greeting and just seeing the wheels turn. They're not
And then
turning today.
halt.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, they are no longer turning today.
The gears grind shut from rust.
Well, rusty head, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Living life.
We have something exciting to start the show off with.
Yeah, if you want to spread the love to us.
Yeah. We finally took it upon ourselves to set up our Patreon.
Ba-ba-na-na.
So instead of using our Buy Me a Coffee page, because it is, I don't know, it's not the platform that we, I don't know, that suits our needs, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, if you do still want to go there to support us, go for it, but this would be better.
Yeah.
Significantly.
Yeah. So our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/creepsandcoffee, is now available for you to check out a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at our show, very similar to what our Buy Me a Coffee page has been. But this time, obviously, we have a membership option. So Woo! With our membership option, I am so fucking excited about this. You can join. We just have one tier.
For
you
now.
You can join the Sasquad. So because we talk about cryptids a lot, and because I love Bigfoot so much, we decided that it was only fitting that our supporters get the chance to join the Sasquad. So, becoming a part of our Bigfoot-loving team gives you access to an exclusive, extra-long, probably, which hopefully you think is a good thing, monthly bonus episode. And encourages you to join in on our conversations directly in chats with us. So instead of DMing us, you can message us right on Patreon. We can kind of go from there and have some more direct connections to you guys, which we are very excited about. We love being able to chat. We love being able to get your feedback on the show. If you want to give us suggestions for future topics, if you want to go over anything that we've talked about on previous shows, this is the best way to do it. Members of the Sasquad also get a special shout out in all of our episodes. And it brings us one step closer to finding the missing link. Because the more people we have put together on this, the closer we are to finding Bigfoot. I am confident.
And if
about
we
that.
Reach 1 million Patreon subscribers, we're going to take a party of us into the woods and we are going to hunt down the Sasquatch.
I will do that if we
or
get...
the Sasquatch, if we're talking to, as their race.
Is... where... what? The Sasquatch?
I don't know. What's Sasquatch plural? Sasquatches? Sasquatch
yeah.
I?
Sasquatches.
I think it's Sasquatches.
I don't like that. If you'd like to tell us if it's Sasquatches or Sasquatch, you can tell us by letting us know on our Patreon. So, if
Correct
you would...
Correct me with the mere price of...
So, if you would like access to behind-the-scenes content, exclusive content, and a member shout-out with every episode, please, we would love to have you for our Patreon. We're very excited. We love being able to do a little bit more with the show. I think we've rearranged our lives a little bit to be able to... do this more because it's something that we both love and we're both very happy to be able to make work. So we would love to be able to have more of a connection with you guys.
And so, if you're my parents and you don't subscribe to our Patreon, you don't love me anymore.
Oh. Shit.
Putting the stakes up real high.
You know what? I'll back her up on that.
Thank you.
Yep. You got it. Anyway, that is our big news.
Yeah, so come be a bigger part of our community. And if not, that's okay. We love you anyway.
Yeah, that's, there's no pressure, but like a little bit.
But like, we would really, 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 really love it and appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We love you.
I give you a big kiss on the forehead virtually. Mwah. And if you didn't subscribe, no kiss.
'm Kate and I'm Jane and this is Creeps and Coffee, a show where we talk about the dark parts of the world around us,
cryptids, conspiracies, things that go bump in the night,
and the crimes behind the scariest creatures of all, humans.
Join us as we take a look at the stories sure to give you the creeps.
Pull up a seat, grab a coffee,
and let's have a chat.
We're doing a pop culture episode.
We sure are, and I am excited about it because you guys know how much I love to recommend things and how much I love to talk about things I like.
I was going to say, I love pop culture. Mm-hmm. If we were to do something on pop culture in every aspect, we'd be here for like a full day and a half, maybe.
Oh, at least.
So we've only got a couple of topics, but I feel like we're going to yap a lot about them.
Welcome to our show. If you're new here and you are not used to our yapping, I'm so sorry.
Certified yappers.
Buckle up.
Movies.
Movies. You love them. You know them. I worked at a movie theater for 4 years.
Yeah, you did.
Terrible job. Hated
that. I'm a movie connoisseur, but I did not work there.
I really hated movies for a hot minute after working there. But I'm back on my bullshit with them.
Yeah.
I dated a movie guy, unfortunately. And that kind of...
He's probably listening right now.
Hey, fuck you.
You owe me money.
He owes me money, actually. But yeah, we've got a solid list of recent-ish movies.
Yeah, old and new.
Yeah, old, there you go. That's, I don't know why I was trying to make that sound complicated.
Mm.
Old and new movies that have left an impression on us. So when, we should also point out, when we're talking about pop culture, we're not just chatting about recent events. We're talking about the relevant, like, true crime, paranormal, the creepy things in pop culture.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're not just like, did you hear Keke Palmer? Like, I don't know.
Of all the examples to give of people.
I don't know.
Keke Palmer? I mean, I'm in. But, huh. Would not have been where my mind went.
My brain also said Hillary Duff, but I don't.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So. Huh.
We've regressed back in time, and I'm here for it. I'm so, in.
First and foremost, I want to talk about one.
Which one are we starting with? I'm so excited.
I'll tell you. I haven't seen it yet. Oh. That's my preface.
Oh.
But I've heard nothing but good things. Talk to me.
Oh. I also have not seen it yet.
I think it's like an A24 film.
Mm-hmm.
And I find, you know, critics aside, I always find their stuff hits, whether it's a slow burn, a psychological thriller.
I love A24.
Do you know the premise of this one?
You told me about it.
Okay, yeah.
I think. Is this...
I might have. There's like a hand.
In a cat backpack? No.
Yeah, so people like grab the hand. Mm-hmm.
It's like a porcelain hand, right? Like a hand...
Yeah.
Model.
And it's supposed to like talk to you, but no one else around you can like... No one else knows what happens to you. Mm. And I don't, obviously, I'm not going to give any spoilers. It came out, like, a couple months ago. But it's on my watch list on Netflix. Like, I've heard nothing but good things.
I think I saw a trailer for it in the last Insidious movie.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, it wasn't bad.
I cried.
The daddy issues?
Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, I also felt emotional because I did like Patrick Wilson. I didn't realize he could sing. He's very talented.
Yeah! I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good guy. Man crush.
Mm-hmm.
DILF. For sure.
really went from daddy issues to DILF, Caitlin.
Daddy issues. We are still at the daddy issues, actually.
So another recent film that I think needs to be discussed, because we both watched it recently.
Mm-hmm.
Saltburn.
Oh, where do we start with Saltburn? Because I have a lot of feelings.
For starters, again, like, no, like, major spoilers, but it was advertised as, like, kind of a gay romance. At least that's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
It kind of is.
I mean, but also...
When I think about Saltburn, and this is not beneficial for the purposes of a podcast, but when I go to form a thought about how to properly describe Saltburn, the only thing that comes to mind is, like, guttural noises. Like, I can't, I'm just like, yeah. Ugh, ugh. You know? I would like to point out that I went into Saltburn knowing nothing, other than the fact that Jacob Elordi was in it. I watched Saltburn with my ex on Christmas Eve.
That's awkward.
Yeah, it was horrendous. We were like, I've never looked at someone and just been like, what's happening? Like, what's going on? And it was a lot. It was a lot to handle.
There's a lot of, like, nudity, but graphic stuff that's, like, it's not like, oh, blood and guts, getting your head cut off. It's more like, oh, why are you doing that? Don't do that.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, one of those had to do with blood. But, the thing that I appreciated about Saltburn, and I think the thing that makes me look at it, aside from all of the shock horror of it, because really, it plays on the shock value of a lot of things, because you are not expecting anything. And it really isn't that disturbing of a concept in the grand scheme of, like, disturbing films.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're not expecting it from what is supposed to be, maybe you thought of it as a gay romance. Maybe you went into it thinking, yeah, it might be a bit of a thriller. I guarantee you were not expecting any of that shit to happen.
Yeah.
But I think they do a really, really good job of giving you a false sense of confidence and lulling you into a false sense of security. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe this is... No, he's fine. Oh my God. Oh my God, he's doing that.
The actors are great.
The actors are fantastic. It did take place in Oxford, which I was excited about because we all know that that's my school. So, love that place.
Ollie, Oxen.
Nope.
Ferd.
Nope. Oxen.
Ollie, Oxford.
Oh God. But no, if you are looking for a film that is thoroughly going to leave you confused and intrigued, Saltburn's the way to go.
Yeah. When I finished watching it, I immediately was like, Tammy, go watch this. Don't ask me anything about it. And she was like, what's the rundown? What's the plot? And I was like, no, go watch it. No explanation.
Precisely. There is no way to explain it.
Yeah.
There really is no... There's no words. But I enjoyed it.
A different movie.
Yes. A different movie.
That I felt gagged me just the same is Gerald's Game. It's an old one. But I went into it being like... I had just seen the title. Not even a trailer. It traumatized me.
I think about that movie far more often than I would like to admit.
Yeah. I mean, it's Stephen King, right? So,
And beautifully done.
This is also just a big promo for Stephen King, I think.
100%. We're going to talk about Stephen King, like, a lot. But I think it stayed very true to the authentic feeling of the story.
Yeah.
And I think it did a very good job of leaving me unsettled. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think about that movie often. I don't have a problem with horror films. I don't get nightmares from them. I don't get concerned about that side of things. That's that nice. Movie haunts me.
Yeah.
And I think, not to give anything away, but this one I feel a little bit more freedom talking about because it's not a recent film. You've had a solid chunk of time to go watch it. So I guess, like, minor spoiler alerts. But I think we even talk about this in the intro to the show. I think what is unsettling about Gerald's Game is the creepy aspect of human nature and how the person who is supposed to be, like, the monster is just a person, not a monster. Yeah. The real monster is within her family.
Mm-hmm.
And how daunting life really is. And also, the thought of my significant other dying on top of me mid-sex.
Handcuffed.
Like, not to get too TMI here, but sometimes it's a genuine concern for me. Like, I think about that scene, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do here if this happens?
And I will say, the gore, very realistic.
Insane.
The gore part,
yeah,
I can see it right now, and I haven't watched the movie in years.
No, for those of you who are unaware, there is a degloving scene. Thinking about it makes me ill. That skin peels right off of her hand.
Ugh.
Ooh, I don't like that at all. Mm-mm.
It's really good, though. You should watch it.
It's a really good movie.
Yep.
But I like it because it's one of the few, and not even a horror film. It's, again, the same as Saltburn. It's not jump scares. It's not spooky, creepy. It's unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what gives it the appeal, is that you're not waiting around the corner for scary things to happen. It really preys on human nature, which is fucked.
The next scary movie I want to talk about, this one's really messed up, Willy Wonka. Just kidding.
I couldn't even watch that one.
I didn't either. Not the new one, anyway.
Too many bad experiences with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I want to talk about FNAF. If you don't know what that is, Five Nights at Freddy's.
I hate it.
That also came out, it was, I guess, October 2023. If you haven't already seen it, go see it. It's not overly scary, but it was a cultural shift. It was very popular all over social media, but it was really goofy.
Was it popular over social media, or was a certain cast member popular on social media?
Yeah.
I don't think that had anything to do with the film.
Are you talking about our baby, Josh Hutcherson?
I am, and you know how deeply I love that man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited that he has had a comeback. The same with our boy. I can't remember his name right now. Matthew Lillard.
I was like, Matthew Greg Goobler?
Literally all that was in my head was Shaggy.
Yeah, Matthew Lillard. Love him too.
I am very happy. And I'm pretty sure he signed on with a few more films with
A24. Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah, he
did. Very exciting, because I think he's a fantastic actor who has never gotten the credit that he deserves.
Absolutely.
That being said, I thought FNAF was a terrible film.
It's not meant to be a good, scary movie.
But do you here's my thing.
Remember the part where they all sing Kumbaya together?
Yeah, like, that was the problem. Here's my thing. Going into it, I wasn't looking at it as a super scary movie. I knew a little bit of the background of the Five Nights at Freddy's games.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that it was going to focus more on the character development to get us to the point of, like, how Afton opened the pizza place and how these creatures came to be. Like, why he was more focused on why he was hiding them. Spoiler alert, I guess, but I feel like if you don't know anything about Five Nights at Freddy's at this point, that's kind of on you.
Yeah.
But why he was hiding the kids in the suits and all of this stuff. Because I genuinely feel, I never played the games. I only know about them because of my students.
Yeah.
But I feel like there is a lot of potential for multiple thrillers.
Yep.
On a circumstance like that.
It's a very, what's the word, like, so it's catering towards the fans.
Yeah. But like,
I don't know what that's called.
But I was hoping it would be more, I was hoping it would be less subservient to the fans and more inviting to a new fan base. Does that make sense? Where I was hoping, it just felt very surface level.
It is.
For all of the fans that have played Five Nights at Freddy's for all these years, I can understand why it would be disappointing, because you don't really get anything new out of the movie.
Yeah.
And for newer fans like me, you don't really get anything out of the movie.
You don't have the nostalgia and the excitement to fall back on. You're just like, well, this was a movie.
Yeah. It's very clear that it was aimed more towards a younger audience, which is fair. But I feel like they really have the potential to make it more adult-based. Because realistically, the kids that were playing FNAF as kids are our age now.
Yeah.
I think it's like, safe to say that you can make it a little bit more intense of a film.
If it was me, I, of course, would have made it scarier. But, you know, I'm not directing the movies, so, like, that really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But as someone who has played some of the games, I've watched playthroughs of every single one of the games.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the books yet, but I would like to buy them and read them.
Yeah.
The way I can enjoy this film, even though it's not amazing, there's some funny bits, there's some spooky bits, the music is great, the actors are lovely, but I either read or heard somewhere that the way to best enjoy it is that the book lore is different than the games. The game lore is different than the movies. The movie is its own standalone series, as it's going to be.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's like an alternate thing, so don't expect the same things to happen, which I think if they lean into it being scarier, it could have, like, a better potential.
But that's what I mean.
Especially with Matthew Lillard, Scream Queen guy.
Exactly. And the fact that, like, Josh Hutcherson's character in the film had an interesting concept of, like, okay, where is this connection? He's clearly got emotional trauma that he's connecting to. So there's a lot of potential to go into with that kidnapping storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like they didn't do it justice.
Yeah.
And again,
this was the one movie we have the most to say about.
100%. Because the others, we were like, no, I loved it.
Yeah, it's scary. It's great. This one?
But I don't know. I think, obviously, I'm not a director.
Yeah.
But I
was. If I was producing this movie, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. I can actually probably shut the fuck up. Will I? No. This is my show.
I will say, I also recently watched the 2022 Prey movie about the Predator guy. It's really good.
I think I also watched that one.
And you're witnessing it from an indigenous woman trying to prove herself to her tribe?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah.
But she wants to also, like, be a hunter, but they're like, no, like, the men do the hunting. And so what better way than to take down this predator and make him the prey? And prove herself that way and kill the thing that's killing everything else. And I thought it was really well done. And it was lovely. And there's a dog in it.
And there's a dog in it. The last thing I'll say for movies is anytime we talk about horror films or scary movies or anything of that nature, I have to talk about Grave Encounters.
Yeah, you do.
I think I even mentioned it in our episode about haunted film sets.
Yeah, I think so.
Filmed in Vancouver. Grave Encounters, both of them, are probably my favorite horror film. And it's because I have such a spot in my heart for the first-person perspective in filmmaking. Mm. And I think the found footage genre has so much potential, but it's so easy to mess up. But I think Grave Encounters is the type of found footage that I enjoy. Like Blair Witch, I was never... The original one is good, but the newer Blair Witch, I can't get behind. It doesn't feel as authentic. Cannibal Holocaust, even as the first real, like, found footage, like, obviously very fucked up film. Do not recommend watching it. It's a whole thing. But from the perspective of just the style of film, like, it's a very, very interesting concept. And I think Grave Encounters does a good job of combining what Cannibal Holocaust and the Blair Witch Project do, while also bringing it to modernity with the Zach Baggins of the world, essentially. Like, the Ghost Encounters lifestyle of paranormal hunters kind of trying to pull the wool over people's eyes and getting kicked in the ass for it.
Yeah.
So I thought it was... I always, always, always recommend Grave Encounters because they make it feel very authentic. Not necessarily in the sense of... Like, you know it's found footage acted out. But the reactions feel very authentic. Everything feels true to humanity. Whereas Saltburn, Gerald's Game, even Five Nights at Freddy's feel like they're preying on the audience's authenticity. You can feel the authenticity and humanity in the characters in Grave Encounters, if that makes sense. And I also just think it's a really good movie. So,
well said.
I would recommend it. The second one is kind of creepier than the first one, but the first one is obviously the better one because it's the first one.
Yeah.
The second one takes, like, a weird turn.
I still have not seen the second one.
Oh, I know what we're doing tonight.
Should I turn the wheel and bring us to our next...
Please do.
Short films!
Mm-hmm.
Boop, boop. So, specifically, I found all of my short films on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. I only have one to talk about. Mine is also from YouTube.
I think I've seen that one. The one I think you...
I think we watched it together.
Okay. So, first and foremost, I'm probably going to give some spoilers, so, because they're like 6 minutes long, so, warning.
Can I, just before we get into it, I think what's relevant about the short films compared to the full-length, like, feature films... Because I think the short films tend to, because they're only 6 minutes-ish, they tend to get to the point a lot faster, obviously. Yes. But they also tend to be better at leaving you on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very complex thing to be able to do. And I think people don't give enough credit to short films.
Yeah.
I think short films get overlooked a lot because people are used to what a movie, quote-unquote, should be.
Mm-hmm.
And short films don't always fall in that category. They follow very different rules when it comes to the filmmaking process.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they have the capacity to almost leave more of an impact in less time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why I like watching, like, I'll, like, look up scary short films or scary short movies, whatever. Because if I'm not in the mood for, like, a full, long, you know, two-hour movie, I can watch, like, 10 short films, all with different plots, different storylines that leave me, like, rattled.
Exactly. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. You talk it's about okay. your specific short films.
Okay. So, this one's, I think, pretty much a cult classic, but it's called Other Side of the Box. I don't know if you've seen it, Caitlin. Creepy guy's head peeks out of the box.
Is that the one you have to keep looking at the box?
You have to keep looking at the box.
Because if you look away from the box, he keeps popping out.
He inches his way out. Let me tell you, this swear word is so creepy. The first time I watched this, I had nightmares. Because I alone don't like looking at creepy people's eyes. this dude, and you have to stare at him. And then it's like, oh, it's just, it's so scary. And the concept is scary.
I will say, what I remember from this one is, isn't it his, like, best friend that drops the box off at his door?
Yeah, it's somebody he knows.
If you did that to me, I would fucking murder you. Are you kidding me?
You wouldn't get the chance. But, like, something happens, like, his girlfriend comes home or his wife comes home or something, and then, she has to look at the box while he's gone, and it's just, it's very stressful, and if I was in that situation, I would die, unfortunately, I think. But I think you should go watch that one. It's like 15 minutes long. But
definitely recommend that one.
Another one that traumatized me.
Also by the same person.
Also by the same person. Alter, I guess. The Armor.
I've not seen this one. But based on Jamie's physical reaction to this, I'm not sure I want to.
So somebody is moving into a new apartment. And they find...
Were you trying to spell armoire here?
Is that not how you spell it?
That's airmore.
I don't know what I said before. Anyway, it's a 13-minute long one. She picks this up on the side of the road because it's there for free. And she's like, I need furniture. And, you know, it seems fine. And then, again, some spoilers here. In the middle of the night, all she hears is like... Like, nope. It's a certain knocking pattern, and it's just really scary, and the knocking, like, haunted me for days. I thought I kept hearing it in the back of my mind.
I don't like that. See, yeah. I love antique shopping, because I love antiques. I will not bring any of them into my home.
But they're definitely haunted.
You never know. The armoire is too good to be true. If you find something like that for free on the side of the road, leave it there.
Yeah, it's either got rats or ghosts.
Exactly. 50-50. And I don't want to deal with either of them, quite frankly.
Ugh. So, I recommend you watch that one, Caitlin.
I will. That does sound good.
It is good. Another one, I couldn't find it, and I couldn't find who it was by, but I think it was called Piggy. Or, like, Piggy, something like that. And it's nice. It's got a plot twist. It's about there was... Oh, God. Should I spoil a little bit?
Go for it, because I don't know what this is.
So there's a girl at a swimming pool.
And she's a little bit like that.
Yeah, she's a little bit bigger. And there's a couple of other girls who I think are suntanning. Sorry if I don't have this completely right. They're suntanning and they're skinnier and they're making fun of her because she's a little bit bigger and she's in a bikini or something. And this is like it looks like a desert area and the pool is very murky.
Mm-hmm.
And so she jumps in the water anyway. I think because she was avoiding the girls' gazes. Not the gaze.
The gaze.
The gaze of the people making fun of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't spoil too much about it, except for I can let you know a man comes out of the water.
No.
And you get an underwater shot of a dead body underneath
the water. I'm okay.
And nobody knows it's there, and she's swimming around.
No, I'm good.
And that's all I'll say.
I don't like that. At all.
Yeah. And so right away I was like, oh, okay. Cool. So that was a good one.
That makes me unsettled. And I know that that's the point, but that makes me unsettled in a way that is, like, uncomfortable for me because I don't like the water.
Yeah. Shout out to Alter again, another good one they had. It's called It's Not About Fear. And I watched this one, like, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I think it's one of the shortest ones that's on this list. I might be lying, though.
I don't know.
It's not about fear. It's scary, but the scary, like, monsters in this are these people's manifestations of past traumas and anxieties.
Mm.
But it's like, it's depicted in a scary way, but it's really good because there's like a person lurking behind one of the characters at all times, like breathing down his neck, making him scared, like being uncomfortable. And you realize that it's someone that hurt him in the past, and he's carrying that weight of the trauma with him all the time. And then you're like, oh, is this real? Is this metaphorical? Is it, you know, a personification of trauma? It's well put.
I don't like that.
Yeah, you gotta psychology that one, so.
No, I do not care for that shit at all.
Yeah. Okay, my final one is by someone named Matt Sears. It's called Catch Your Breath. Mm. Not super deep. It's like these two guys, they're British, playing like a Bloody Mary type-esque game, and it goes wrong.
Terrible.
But also anything that says like, hold your breath, catch your breath, I can hold my breath for like 45 seconds tops, so I'm screwed, regardless. Running, I can go up the stairs once.
That's fair.
So, go watch it. Rant over.
Ugh. Spooky. Don't like it. Don't like that. The only one... I'm going to swiftly move on from that because I don't like thinking about that at all. The only one that I have on this list is a short film by Julian Terry called Don't Peek.
I've seen this one.
And essentially the premise of it is this person is playing Animal Crossing alone in their room late at night, later than they probably should be. Yeah, there's a reason this one freaked me out as much as it did. And their character in the game begins to interact as if there's someone else in the room in real life. And it's essentially like, they don't want you to peek off the screen, because if you look off the screen, something very unsettling will happen. And I think this one does a really good job of making you scared of the mundane, which is how these short films really
get you. It also plays into like that childhood fear of like, there's something under my bed, or like, don't open the closet door.
Exactly. There's something in that dark hallway. There's something there. Which is...
That still scares me. Should I cut to books now?
Let's cut to books, because... We all know that I love a book.
Book recommendations. First and foremost, getting this out of the way. The classic horror stories of H.P. Lovecraft. He's a terrible person, but stories are good. This is only going to be like our prologue into it, because I don't want to dwell on him.
Fair.
But this one is good. It's got The Call of the Cthulhu, which we mentioned before in, I think, our Bloop episode.
Had to be.
Yeah, go check out the Bloop. It's got like, it's called... The Dunwich Horror, Color Out of Space, I don't know how to say any of this stuff. The Shadow Over Innsmouth, The Shadow at a Time, At the Mountains of Madness, Mignon Mignon. Good one. Read it, but pirate it.
Yeah, 100%. Lovecraft was a insane person. Unfortunately, also had some insane talent when it came to writing.
Aren't we all? No.
No.
Stephen King is great, too.
I've really been on a Stephen King bout lately.
I have my whole life.
Yeah, you really have.
Since I could read adult books, I would go into, like, Chapters or Indigo or whatever, and, like, immediately it was, like, going to the scary sections to find Stephen King books.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Carrie. I loved The Shining. It wasn't as... I have feelings about The Shining because it wasn't as scary as the movie, and even the movie wasn't that scary,
but
I thought it was well written.
I was more unsettled by the book than I was by the movie.
But, okay, for example, the elevator's pooling blood out everywhere. Doesn't happen in the book. In the book, it's balloons and, like, confetti.
But that's more unsettling to me. Like, the film relied on the shock factor of the blood in the elevator.
Okay.
the book relied on, again, it goes back to the unsettling aspects of the mundane. Mm. You're obviously going to be unsettled by blood. But when you're a child and you're being haunted by all of these things and it's balloons, it's just ominous.
It's still, I would still be freaked out either way.
Mm.
But maybe I'm just a little desensitized.
I just think the balloon, like the original concept of the balloons, was more playing into the simplicity is not the right word, the juvenile nature and the innocence behind it all, and how that innocence was being toyed with and taken away.
Maybe because I had seen the movie before I read the book, I was expecting more. But you are right. I think it's still worth a read, too.
I think you and I talked about this, too, when we watched the movie, because I hadn't seen the movie.
Yeah.
I think one of the most unsettling scenes in the book is when he's trimming the hedges, and the hedges are changing and moving.
When he looks away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's
that
it, not...
That was scary.
And that's not depicted in the film, and that bothered
me. I wish they had, because that is spooky.
Mm-hmm.
It scared me. I was, like, skipping pages, because I was like...
And I think what I like about the book more so than the movie is you could feel Jack losing his mind.
Yeah, I like you could see he was going insane.
Like, you can really tell how he is catching himself losing it, but is powerless to stop it.
Also, you get more, like, background in the book about, like, why he's going crazy. It's not just he's going crazy. It's, like, well, there's ghosts of, like, gang members and stuff here, and, like...
And, like, why...
And the ending is different.
Yeah. The fact that you get any background on, like, why he's there at all. Why did the family have to move? What were they dealing with? Why was writing so important to him? Like, there was a lot more... I mean, the movie was fantastic, don't get me wrong. It's a cult classic for sure, but I think there's more that could have been done, especially when it's based on the book.
Also, shout out Shelley Duvall.
Absolutely. Also, can I tell you an unsettling story about The Shining? The first time I ever actually... Like, I had read bits and pieces of The Shining before, but the first time I ever actually read through the entirety of The Shining was when I worked at a hotel. I was an assistant manager at a hotel.
Yeah, you were.
And I read this book, started it during the middle of the day because it was a really slow weekend, and I knew I was working an overnight shift.
Oh.
I was the only person working, like, no other staff at this hotel. The hotel I worked at was violently haunted.
Yeah.
Like... No bad ghost, one that we weren't sure about, but very active paranormally. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there reading The Shining. Don't know why I thought that was a good idea. And there was one night I was reading it. The power got cut off twice in the breakers for half the rooms. So I had to go up in the haunted attic by myself at like 1 a.m. Not fun. Not a solid choice. Read The Shining 100%, but don't do it if you work at a hotel.
Yeah. Wait until you quit.
A haunted hotel, nonetheless. Yeah.
The last rec I have for Stephen King is The Bazaar of Bad Dreams. It's a collection of short stories. They will give you nightmares.
Mm.
So, read it.
Yeah.
That one, I don't think you should pirate. You should go and buy that one.
Yeah. Stephen King,
buy it on your Kindle or... whatever's in nowadays.
Sick.
I have one more book recommendation.
I have a book recommendation.
Which I didn't realize mine is controversial.
It is.
I thought it was good. It's called The Skin Collector. And it's part of a series, sort of. Like, I read it as a standalone, but it is technically part of a series with, like, the same characters. But when I was, like, looking it up to confirm, like, is this the book I was thinking of? It was, but the reviews were like, this is one of his worst works. He's done so many better books. And I'm like, girl, what? I thought it was great. It's about a serial killer, and each, like, well, not each, but, like, every few chapters or so, you get the perspective of the killer and of the person investigating these murders, but you don't know who the killer is until, like, the end, and he's, like, peeling people's skin off. I mean, they're peeling people's skin off, and you don't know who the killer is. But it's, I thought it was really good, so
I don't know. I have not read this one, but I heard that it was a really interesting concept. But I also
And I got it for free at an SPCA. I went there to walk dogs and with my mom and give them coffee and donuts because we love the SPCA people.
Yes.
And they were like, we have, like, free books if you want to take one. And they just had a bunch of free books that they were, like, they got donated and they were giving them out.
I was like,
creepy one looks great.
I was like, I don't know how I feel about the SPCA handing that out as their, like, sponsored book. But if it was a bunch of random books, that makes way more sense.
No, they weren't just like, here, read horror.
Here's this book about a serial killer. There you go.
Want a dog?
You want a dog? You want an animal? Controversial.
I thought it was great. So
that's fair. I felt that way about my book recommendation. I have talked about this book to everyone who will listen. And now it's your turn, people. So this book we could do an entire episode on, and I hope to God, actually, maybe that's what we'll do for my birthday.
I was just, that could be also a Patreon episode as well.
So this book is called The Siren Call of Hungry Ghosts, and it's written by a man named Joe Fisher. And unlike the other books on our list, this is a nonfiction book. So this book is written by Joe about his experiences looking into past life regressions and spirit guides. And how, without giving too much away, it is his experience trying to prove or disprove the existence of his spirit guide from his past life, and how the intensity of a spiritual connection can impact your real life relationships. What is intriguing to me is that this book was published. It's not very common, I would say. It's not talked about often. But Joe actually ended up committing suicide. And he said that a lot of it was because of pressures he was feeling because of the book. That's all I'll say. Because if I give any more background on it, it is a spoiler. And this is a book that I feel everyone who's interested in the paranormal should read. So,
that's so sad.
It's very sad, especially when you consider all that he really went through in this journey. But it is a fascinating book. And I have read it a million times. It's sitting beside me right now. It sits on my bedside table because I think about it all the time. I love this book.
And I will continue to read it.
I cannot recommend it enough. The Siren Call of Hungry Ghosts.
Okay. Our last Jeopardy podcast topic today is Jeopardy it's about podcasts.
Yep.
Speaking of podcasts, that's us.
That's us. If you want a podcast about the paranormal and the spooky and all things a little bit funky, this is not us. We're pretty cool.
I know you're listening to us right now, but we have more episodes.
But do it again. Do it some
more. But have you listened to us all?
Have you heard it a couple times?
Yeah, give us a couple extra listens.
You haven't heard our new stuff coming out.
Yeah, it's going to come out sometime soon.
We got something for everybody. We got history. We got pop culture. We got ghosts. We got ghouls. We got goblins. We got big feet.
And bears, oh my.
Yep.
And episodes will continue to come out. So you should follow us.
Yeah.
And give us love.
Yeah. I have a special place in my heart for podcasts like ours. And podcasts that are in this category, because I think it's a really accessible learning opportunity.
That's true.
So if you're interested in stuff like this, you don't always have time to sit and watch a movie. You don't always have time to dedicate to reading a book. But a podcast you can throw on in the background. You can go for a walk and listen. You can listen while you're cooking. You can listen.
I listen to podcasts going to work.
Yeah, I do it when I'm getting ready in the morning.
Take it on the bus.
There's so many opportunities to keep that learning going. And not even just learning, but keep that, like, almost socialization going. Because I feel like podcasts really have the ability to form a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I am inspired by that a lot. I think that realization helped us start our own show.
Well, we had lots of stuff we wanted to talk about, but nobody else had ever talked about.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, we can do that. Why don't we?
And I think that's such an interesting thing to be able to just, like, at the end of the day, it's just people having conversations. Jamie and I have been best friends for 17, 18 years. This is just how we have conversations. But to be able to do it and talk to hundreds of you, like, that's very comforting to think that it's just prolonging these conversations and it's extending them to hear a bunch of different opinions too.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that, especially when it comes to the paranormal, the supernatural, the true crime, all of those things where it really is a matter of opinion. There's no right or wrong because we don't know.
Yes.
So it's interesting to be able to get a bunch of different perspectives.
Beautiful. Another one. Yeah, I like, if you don't want to listen to us, if we are not your vibe, thanks for listening through this whole episode, I guess.
Sorry.
But yeah, sorry. One that's kind of different, but it was recommended to me, and I also recommend it. It's called Sawbones.
Mm.
And it's not necessarily true crime or anything, but it's about, like, messed up medical stuff.
Ooh.
They talk about different, like, diseases. They talk about, like, historical medicines and, like, practices, things that are messed up.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And there was one that, it's not necessarily scary, but I listened to it like a couple days ago. It was about the anatomy of the Avengers.
That's cool.
Because they were like, well, how does the Hulk work? Well, realistically, what would happen if you were to be doused in radiation? Blah, 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 blah. And they get technical with it. And I'm like, yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Do more of this.
Tell me more about Chris Evans' body.
They do talk about him.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you're looking for something less spooky, I guess, go for that one.
But still spooky. And that's what I love about podcasts. It's like you were saying, that's something that other people aren't really talking about. But I would love to hear their perspective on it.
I'm like, tell me more right now.
Exactly.
Another one that's not, like, super spooky, but it's about humans, and humans are spooky. It's called We Are All Insane.
Mm.
I've listened to a couple different episodes, and it's stuff like, I survived a suicide attempt, I survived human trafficking, I survived child molestation, and you're getting these really raw, firsthand accounts, and it's like over an hour of these people just telling you their life story, what happened to them. I'm listening to one today, it was, I was addicted to fentanyl at 16.
I like that it's first-hand accounts. I like that it's not like...
And she doesn't interrupt. She just lets them tell their story. And if there's any leftover questions, she does ask them. But it's, like, it made me cry.
Yeah.
Because it's these people telling you, like, this is something that humans did to me that's messed up. Or, like, and it's like, God, humans are the worst.
I've said it a million times. I will say it again. I've said it probably 6 times this episode. Humans... are the real monsters.
Yes. And
it's nuts.
I just think it's a good platform and we should support it because God.
And like I was saying, like to be able to hear it from their perspective and not a third party implanting what they think someone was feeling or how that must have felt for them. No, this is directly how it did impact them and their lives.
Yeah.
Which is a huge thing.
Yeah.
I think we need to hear more direct stories. People need to be more comfortable talking about the shitty things. Because yeah, we might not all go through the extremes that some of these people unfortunately are faced with, mm-hmm. but we are all people who experience highs and lows to varying degrees. Yeah. So why are we only talking about the highs? Really? It makes us feel a lot less alone when we talk about the lows too.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Because there are a lot of lows.
There's a lot of lows.
Or is that just us?
I think that might be an us thing. Ooh.
Another episode I really like of so another one I recommend. This one is if you're looking for more raunchy comedy, called the Brohio Podcast.
I like these guys.
They are what I think of every time we do an intro, because I want to say, welcome to the Brohio Podcast. But we're not called that.
No, we're not.
But they talk about, like, occult stuff, paranormal stuff, murders, conspiracy theories, a whole bunch of different stuff.
You introduced me to these guys when we were in Wales.
I did?
Yep. Because I vividly remember having a breakdown. And you were like, oopsies. Do you want something that's going to make you laugh but also inform you of things? And I was like, yeah, please. So we listened to like 3 episodes of the Brohio Podcast.
The last one I will recommend, I don't think it's like a running show anymore. I think they stopped running it. I'm not going to say they were canceled. Mm. Internet Urban Legends with Loey Lane and Snitchery.
I love Loey.
I love this so much. I'm almost done listening to all of them, and there's not any new ones, so I'm sad. But they have a lot of stuff like internet spooky things.
Which is what we love to talk about.
But they're short, which is good if you're looking for something like 20 minutes long.
Get out of my head. That's what I was about to say. Like, it's nice because there are longer shows, but somewhat like ours.
Yeah.
Where it's great if you want an in-depth look, but sometimes you just want a quick one. It's like feature films versus short films. If you want really, really long episodes of stuff, that's what Astonishing Legends is for.
Yeah, so you all know, this is Caitlin's bread and butter.
You all know that there's no shot I was going to record an episode about pop culture and recommend paranormal and history-based podcasts and not talk about Astonishing Legends. If you are playing our Creeps and Coffee drinking game, you can take a shot, because I'm talking about Astonishing Legends again. Yeah, and I'm not sorry about it. I love this show so much. I don't even know how to encapsulate the content that they make, but it's history-based, it's, like, rooted in reality, but it's perspectives on the paranormal, the supernatural, mm-hmm. and real-life historical mysteries that have perplexed humanity for varying reasons. Talking about the Count of Saint Germain, talking about Amelia Earhart's disappearance, talking about the original, the amount of hours I spent listening to Scott and Forrest talk about the Patterson-Gimlin film is stupid.
Long time?
I think it's like a 6-part series on the Patterson-Gimlin film. I think in total it's like 18 hours. And I binged it hard.
You listened to all of it?
I listened to every second of it.
Wow.
Dude, when I tell you that I know too much about Bigfoot, it's all thanks to Astonishing Legend. They have a really good episode on missing time. And that's actually
so scary to me.
But the guests for that episode are actually Scott's wife, who works in TV and film production, and Dan Povenmeyer, who is the voice of Dr. Doofenshmirtz. And they went to college together, and they had a missing time experience together.
Are the platypus? Wait.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, the amount of, like, random topics that they cover that are just so interesting, and you never would have thought that they're as interesting as they are. That's why I say, when I listen to Astonishing Legends, I never know what's happening. But I know for a fact that even if I'm not initially interested in a topic, I will listen to the episode because there's always something.
There's always something to learn.
Yeah.
Wait, and that's crazy.
Like, I fucking love this show, man.
I noticed.
Yeah, in case you couldn't tell. And I will say, as a final little tidbit, if you would like similar information processing and presentation mixed in with a bit of theater, you can also listen to a show that is written and produced by Astonishing Legends called The Midnight Library.
Are you an industry plug for them?
I wish, but it's presented woman, like, this, like, dark woman who lives in the, is the curator of what's called the Midnight Library in this fake little town. And her assistant, Mr. Darling, is definitely a werewolf, but they never talk about it. And they present more of the occult side of things. So they talk about runes, they talk about specific darker holidays, they talk about vampirism, they talk about lycanthropy. Like, it's a very, very focused on the dark arts, but in a really cool way. So it's always presented like you're going on, every episode is a tour of the library. And she, Miranda, the host, is like presenting this topic while you're all sitting down in the library. It's very, very well done. It's much more theatrical, but very cool. I actually got the chance to talk to Forrest and tell him about our show and talk to him a little bit about that, which was really awesome.
Maybe we can collab one day.
I'd actually shit myself, I think. Like, the amount of fangirling that I would actually do for this show is insane.
Well, have we talked all our talk? Have we?
I think we have. I think I love talking about pop culture. I love that the spookiness of the things that we're interested in has become a lot more popularized in modern culture. Because I think it's a really, really interesting subtopic. Yes. And I love hearing about it.
Tell me all the things, please.
Tell us all the things. If you would like to tell us all the things. If you would like to give your perspective on the things that we have told you. If you would like to give us recommendations or disagree with any of the recommendations we've given you, you can let us know over on our Instagram and our Twitter at Creeps and Coffee. You can send us an email if you want to go a little bit more in depth. You can email us at creepsandcoffee@gmail.com. Or you can check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/creepsandcoffee. Become a member of the SAS Squad. Tell us all the cool things, and you can hear your name in this segment of the show.
New outro. New outro.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for recommending. Thank you for continuing to show love and make our show the best it's been. We love you.
Jinx.
Jinx. You owe me.
You owe me a soda.
Stop doing that. We have to go right now. Yay. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
3PsandCoffee is produced and edited by us, Kate and Jane.
Our theme music is Stuck in a Hole by Dated.
For more information on where to find them, check out the link in our show notes. And to connect with us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Creeps and Coffee.